Blog Talk Radio.
Smooches, and welcome back to our very last broadcast on the magic of thinking big. We've been thinking about what is going to take to think even bigger. And we're going to talk about the word big and what that means to you and your design for your dream. Your dream has to be bigger than you. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And thanks to our author of The Magic of Thinking Big, we're going to go and delve into more of some of the principles that are going to be helpful in helping you understand if you're scared, the dream is not big enough. You need to be absolutely in fear that this dream is bigger than you. And so last week we said, you know what? Fear can't live where the dream is, and that's exactly what we're talking about. So there's like a double-edged sword here. We're talking about you are scared. So we know that's an indicator that the dream is big enough. And we're talking about the word fear, getting rid of it. So it's kind of like, okay, wait a minute, you're saying two things here, Smooches. But you know what? I can't say it better than our author. You know, I've got to let you get it by yourself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you by allowing you to listen to our broadcast, and we're going to channel our favorite author, The Magic of Thinking Big, Part 4. I think that is, yes, it's been 1, 2, 3, 4 shows. This is show 4, and we feel really good about it because last week's show actually had some really good numbers. That means that people are actually tuning in, and they really want this information, and we're providing it to you. David J. Schwartz is going to be your teacher, and Smooches Radio is going to be your guide. So we want to make sure that everybody is ready and definitely sharing the show. So if you want to share the show, you can always let people know that they can find the show at www.radio.com/Smooches Radio. As we're queuing up here today, I would love to have a conversation with anybody out there who's already using these principles. The principles are very simple, but what I want to know is if any of you have already decided that this is something for you, that you'd like to start thinking bigger, that you wouldn't mind utilizing some of the tips that we've been kind of talking about and some of the tips that the author has been talking about in The Magic of Thinking Big. But if you actually been applying the principles, you know, a lot of times you hear about people reading a book, but then you never really hear whether or not the person is actually applying the principles. And I think that's so key, especially to people who are trying to connect with like minds. I don't want to know that a person has read all of these books. What I want to know is, have you been applying the principles and what type of success have you had with certain principles? And if you have had those, could you please tell me what the circumstances or what the atmosphere was like, the environment that you were able to use these in, so that I myself can go out and try to see if I can lay down some of these. So I always think that the best thing to do is to learn through experience. Thinking about the magic of thinking big, I'm noticing that a lot of people have really been connected to it. So we want to continue giving it out. And I think you're going to love if you just go online and get the audiobook yourself. Because it's always like something that you can download in your player and know that in your player that there's something important that you're going to have to actually finish. And so a lot of times we have these self-help books and we have some of these places where we go for our information, but a lot of times we're not accessing them often enough. Now, some people say all I need is the Bible, and that's all well and good. I don't kick anybody who believes that the Bible is the only personal development book they need, because it is definitely well-rounded. It definitely gives you a lot of thinking to do, and also it gives you a lot of principles that a lot of these books tend to reduplicate. But let's listen to our author, Smooches.
If you approach him and say, Mr. Teller, let me withdraw some thoughts I deposited in the past proving I'm inferior to just about everybody else, he'll say, right away, sir. Recall how you failed 2 times previously when you tried this? Recall what your sixth grade teacher told you about your inability to accomplish things. Recall what you overheard your fellow workers saying about you last week, and so on and so forth. This teller will continue digging out of your brain thought after thought that proves you're inadequate. But suppose you visit this memory teller and you give him this request. Mr. Teller, I face a difficult situation. Can you supply me with any thoughts that will give me reassurance? And again, the teller says, right away, sir. But this time, he delivers thoughts you deposited earlier that say you can succeed. Recall that excellent job you did in a similar situation before? Recall how much confidence Mr. Sawyer placed in you. Recall the respect your friends have given you for your abilities in this area, and so forth. Your teller lets you withdraw the thought deposits that you want to withdraw. After all, it's your bank. So there are two specific things you can do to build confidence through efficient management of your memory bank. First, deposit only positive thoughts in your memory bank. After all, everyone faces plenty of unpleasant, embarrassing, and discouraging situations. But unsuccessful and successful people deal with these situations in opposite ways. Unsuccessful people dwell on them and make them prominent in their memory. They don't take their minds away from them. At night, the unpleasant situation is often the last thing they think about. Successful people, on the other hand, don't give these situations another thought. Once they've gotten through them, they don't put them in the forefront of their memories. Quite the contrary, successful people specialize in putting positive thoughts into their memory banks. Imagine what would happen to your car's engine if you scooped up a handful of dirt every morning and put it into the crankcase. That engine would soon be a mess. It wouldn't be able to do what you wanted it to. Negative thoughts have the same effect on your mind and your confidence. They produce needless wear and tear on your mental motor. They put you on the side of the road while others drive ahead. So get in the habit of depositing positive thoughts into your memory bank. Just before you go to sleep, count your blessings. Recall the many good things you can be thankful for: your family, your friends, your health. Recall the good things you saw people do today and the good things you heard them say. Recall your own personal victories and accomplishments, large and small. Go over the reasons why you're glad to be alive. The second thing you can do to build confidence through efficient management of your memory bank is to withdraw only positive thoughts from it. When you're alone with your thoughts, driving your car or having a quick lunch, or maybe on a business trip alone in the evening, don't dwell on whatever problems or troubles may be in your life at the moment. Remember instead the positive things, the good times you've had, the successes, the reasons that you're doing as well as you are. Mental health professionals tell us that some people create, in effect, their own private museums of mental horror by excluding positive thoughts from their memories and dwelling on negative ones to the point of obsession. These are obviously extreme cases, but many of us tip the balance to negative in our memory banks, and that can often impede our personal progress. And whether the psychological problem is big or little, the cure comes when you learn to quit drawing negatives from your memory bank and draw positives instead. Don't build mental monsters. Refuse to withdraw unpleasant thoughts from your memory bank. When you remember situations of any kind, concentrate on the good part of the experience. Forget the bad. If you find yourself thinking about the negative side, turn your mind to something else. Take a nap. Go for a bike ride. Work in the yard. You don't need negative thoughts. You can live much better on a pure diet of positive ones. The encouraging thing that you'll discover if you practice these attitudes is that your mind will cooperate with you. Your mind really doesn't want the negative thoughts. If you ignore them, your teller will eventually cancel them out of your memory bank. One of the most common mental monsters we build is our impression of other people and how we measure up to them. People often fear other people. Why is this? Why do so many people feel self-conscious around other people? And what can we do about it? Fear of other people is a big, big fear. But there is one way to conquer it. You can overcome that fear if you learn to put people into proper perspective.
I remember when I was enlisted into the Army back in 1942, I was a very shy, confused young man, and I thought that everybody was bigger than I was, strong. smart, and in any event, they were all just almost as confused as I was. In fact, in many cases, much more confused. So I started to gain a sense of worth about myself, realizing that the people that are my peers are just as confused and just as scared as I am about this world that we're entering into. So from then on, I had felt that I can take the measure of anybody. I'm just as good as they are.
Now that makes sense, doesn't it? The other person is basically like you, so there's no reason why you should be afraid of him. Here are two ways to put other people in the proper perspective and keep them there.
To begin with, get a balanced view of other people. Keep these points in mind when dealing with people. The other person is important. Emphatically, they are important. Every human being is. But remember, you're important too, and you're just as important as the other person. So when you meet another person, make it a policy to think, we're two important people sitting down to discuss something of mutual interest and benefit. No matter how big or important the other person seems, remember, they're just another human being with essentially the same interests, desires, and problems as you. Second, develop an understanding attitude. People who want to put you down for whatever reason, or bite your head off, or criticize you, are not rare in this world. If you're not prepared for people like that, they can punch big holes in your self-confidence and make you feel defeated. You need a defense against these adult bullies, people who like to throw their meager weight around, and an understanding attitude is exactly the right defense. Anyone who confronts you or insults you or yells at you or even cuts you off in traffic is not really mad at you. You're just a scapegoat, a momentary target for their feelings. That person may be mad at their husband or wife. They may have just lost their job. They may be under undue pressure from many sides. But you are not their real problem, and there's no reason why they should be your problem either. So the essence of an understanding attitude is to say to yourself, this person is having a bad day. I can understand that. I've had a few myself. I'm just the person who's giving them a chance to get a little bit of it out of their system. They're probably a perfectly decent human being under all that rage. Try to hold on to that attitude. And don't get flustered or angered or cowed by someone else's effrontery. Hold your fire. The way to win in situations like this is to let the other person blow their stack and then forget it.
Smooches, I know that you are having a wonderful time listening to our author explain to you a couple of key things here. And so, when you were confused at the beginning of our show about fear, now you know what purpose it serves and how to utilize that understanding of fear so that you can proceed with your magic of thinking big, the bigger picture. How about understanding? Understanding can be twofold. It can be understanding from your point of view, or beginning to understand, beginning to understand from someone else's point of view. And I believe that as you can connect those two points of understanding, that is where a lot of the magical things begin to happen. Now you can let go of some of your reservation towards someone else. And you can understand them from a beginner's point of view, that this person may not have any idea what they said to you to cause you so much upset, anger, fear, sadness, because now you understand that part of thinking big means that you're able to control a lot of these emotions that continually keep you connected to something that you no longer serves a purpose. I'm going to give you a chance, 30 seconds, to allow that last segment to really sink in. Out of all of the pieces of this whole puzzle of the magic of thinking big, I think this was one of the more, to me, this one really impacts you emotionally. And this allows you to open that part of yourself that actually understands it, that in order to think big, you have to have a certain amount of emotional intelligence. Let's move on, and let's see what else is going to take for you to understand a bit more about why you must be willing to push past personalities and problems that don't acknowledge that your dream is too big to let go of. Tonight on Smooches Radio, we are widening the playing field, and it starts with you. We're going to use David J. Schwartz, our author, as our inspiration, and we're going to smooch you all the way to the finish line. Stay tuned.
College psychology courses. It was written more than 30 years ago by Dr. George W. Crane. In this book, Dr. Crane wrote, I quote, "Remember, motions are the precursors of emotions. You can't control the latter directly, but only through your choice of motions or actions. Go through the proper motions each day, and you'll soon begin to feel the corresponding emotions." In other words, we can change our attitude simply by changing our physical actions. So, besides managing your memory, you can manage your emotions, too, to help build more confidence and destroy fear. To give you one quick example, right now, no matter what you're doing or what you're thinking, break into a great big smile. Just smile as big as you can. Smile like a circus clown. Show all your teeth. Now, doesn't that make you feel a lot more like smiling? Doesn't that make you feel better, a little happier? And on the negative side, if you frown, a really bitter frown, you'll find that you feel more like frowning, and you'll feel all the negative emotions that go along with that expression.
It's easy to demonstrate that managed emotions can change emotions. People who are shy in introducing themselves can replace this timidity with confidence, just by taking three simple actions simultaneously. First, reach for the other person's hand and clasp it warmly. Second, look directly at the other person. Don't look away. And third, say, "I'm very glad to know you." These three simple actions automatically and instantaneously banish shyness. Confident action produces confident thinking. Here are some confidence-building exercises that are based on managed emotions. Listen to these carefully. Once you have them committed to memory, make a conscious effort to practice them and build your confidence. Here they are. First, be a front seater. Maybe you've noticed in meetings and classrooms how the back seats tend to fill up first. Most people scramble to sit in the back rows so they won't be too conspicuous. The reason they're afraid to be conspicuous is that they lack self-confidence. Sitting up front builds confidence. Practice it. From now on, make it a rule to sit as close to the front as you can. You may be a little more conspicuous, but then again, there's nothing inconspicuous about success. Second, practice making eye contact. The way a person uses their eyes tells us a lot about them. Instinctively, you ask yourself questions about the person who doesn't look you in the eye. What's he trying to hide? What's he afraid of? Is she trying to put something over on me? Is she holding something back? You say nothing good about yourself when you avoid making eye contact. You say, "I'm afraid. I lack confidence." Conquer this fear by making yourself look the other person in the eyes. This tells the other person, "I'm honest and above board. I believe in what I'm telling you. I'm not afraid. I'm confident." This not only gives you confidence, it wins you confidence too. It makes the other person feel good, reassured, and positive about you. Third on our list of managed emotions, walk 25% faster. Psychologists link slovenly postures and sluggish walking to unpleasant, self-defeating attitudes. Conversely, a jaunty walk, and a healthy posture are signs of a confident, successful person. Here's another experiment for your people laboratory. This is one you can conduct alone or with friends and family. Find a good vantage point from which to observe people, possibly the front porch, favorite restaurants, or maybe a park bench. Then take a good look at the people who walk by. Notice the way they walk, how they carry themselves, the expressions on their faces and in their bodies. Then notice the impression that you get from what you see. Do these people seem happy, unhappy, confident, afraid? Average people have a more or less average walk. Their pace is average, and they have a certain air about them that says, I really don't have all that much pride in myself. Other people look absolutely defeated, down and out. They just shuffle along, exhibiting zero self-confidence. Then there's the people who show super confidence when they walk. They almost seem to sprint. Their walk tells the world, I've got someplace important to go and something important to do. You can use this walk 25% faster technique to help build self-confidence. Throw your shoulders back. Lift up your head. Move a little quicker. You'll feel your confidence building as you do it. Managed motion number 4 is practice speaking up. Lack of self-confidence prevents many intelligent, perceptive people from expressing their ideas and feelings in discussions. And it isn't that these people don't want to share their thoughts. It's just that their fear of other people won't let them open up. David Schwartz calls these people conference clams. They're afraid that if they say anything, they'll look foolish, so they say nothing instead. But each time the conference clam fails to speak up, he takes one more dose of confidence poison. He becomes less and less confident of himself and feels more inadequate, more inferior. Often, the clam will make a faint promise to himself that he'll say something next time, but he never does.
Notice. So, I believe that we've reached a very pivotal point in our broadcast because we finally have someone on the line, and it feels really good that we are spreading this dream, and it's becoming bigger and bigger. Smooches Radio was our special dream, our dream to be able to broadcast and highlight not just entrepreneurism, but highlight the what they call in modern times the grind of some people's path. And what we did with that was we were able to bring both of those concepts together for you, especially for you, because it's important for us that if you're out there and you do have something that you are passionate about, that you understand that you must be willing to push, and you're going to have to be able to get yourself into motion using the very last parts of that key audio explanation that we just heard. And I want to go to a caller, and I want to find out how this dreaming bigger, the magical thinking of big, if you think this is just another book that's going to have people distracted again from their major purpose, or if you feel like books like these are needed because there are so many other different types of books and genres out there. Let me find out what our caller thinks.
Hello.
Smooches. Hi, how are you? Smooches, this is you're live with Smooches Radio. Tonight is our Thank God I'm Financially Free Fridays. We have a series called If You Are Scared, Dream Bigger, but it's all about the magic of thinking big. So I'm not quite sure how long you've been tuned in, but I'd like to know if you have a question, and if so, go ahead and smooch it.
Hi, I'm Monica from Brooklyn. I just wanted to say that Smooches, you really just, you speak your mind. I love it. My question is it possible that you have the self-confidence, but it doesn't show on the outside?
Ooh, ha-ha. Oh, my goodness. Your name again, caller?
My name is Monica.
Monica. See, now, that last, if you were just tuned in, they definitely know. Okay, if you do have the confidence and it's inside and you're not showing it on the outside, see, the thing about that is that there have been people that have been studying body language for a very long time, longer than you and I. And what it is
people are only going to see what you allow them to see. So you're saying that you're feeling very, very powerful and confident in the inside. What people want to see is it come to the outside, because you may not know which opportunities that you may be passing up because you're not willing to allow that confidence to stay outside, so to be on the outside. So my suggestion, and I can only give you a suggestion to you, is to allow it to come out more, because there may be some opportunities that you're missing, meaning that someone may you may be passing someone, what the author said is slunched over and looks like the self-confidence is defeat. And there might be someone getting ready to give opportunities out. And if you were walking, like he said, a little bit faster, the 25 pace that he was just talking about, that someone might see you and say, you know what, that's the person right there. How many times are you going to show the outer, the inner to the outer? And I guess my question to you is, when you're dreaming bigger and when you have a magical way of thinking, the people that you need to meet need to see that you want what you say you want. I don't know if that answers your question, Monica. Monica, are you still with me?
Oh, yes, I'm here. It did answer my question. Thank you, Smooches.
Okay, well, you know what? We're here every Friday from 11 to 11:30 p.m. Our show is made because it's really for the new genre of listeners that need a really quick and self, you know, a productive self empowering movement.
Uplifting.
And that's what we have it here for. So please don't forget to share us with your friends.
Yeah, no problem. I'll give you a shout out on Instagram.
Okay, thank you so much, Monica. I do appreciate it. Thank you. We're going to go back to our broadcast. Now, I think that was an excellent question, and I don't know who Monica is, but I hope that she becomes one of our loyal royals out here, and I hope that she's, you know, able to tune in to our prior shows if she's still listening, because this was a series of four, and one of the things that we've been trying to let people know, but I think that question was so vital. And I'm glad that we don't get a lot of callers. But I think as we're broadcasting now that question is really important. I think it's important to not just women. It's important to the youth, you know. And we don't know what the youth are thinking, but perhaps they may be thinking that they're confident in the inside and it's coming out. But that's what our last segment was about. It was about the person who never actually does stand up for themselves because they always think it's going to be the next time. And if Monica, if you're still listening, that's what it is. You're going to show your confidence the next time that you may be too late. So I think it's okay, like he said, to stand with your shoulders straight. That's one of the things that he just said. Stand up, erect, walk around as if the magic of thinking big is you know that you're going somewhere very important and there's no time to not that you are bigger than your dream. And so I hope that you guys got a lot from that. And I'm glad that we end our segment with such an important question, but also a very important segment. I would say go back, rewind all of these shows and kind of put them together, because I know that they have an underlying message, especially to anybody out there that's still struggling with understanding who they really are, who the dream is. You need to know that you are the carrier of your dream. And it's an incubation period. And you have to continue adding stuff to it so that the dream becomes exactly what you visualize. We are committed to our listeners, and we're committed to believing that financial independence is available to everyone. I thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and please join us next Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have some more great independent news out there for our entrepreneurs, and we also have some great opportunities that we're willing to share with you. But there is no way that you're going to get this big opportunity if you don't tune in. So while you're waiting for the other blogs to do something new, Smooches Radio is always about you. Thank you for tuning in. Smooches, good night.